You may have heard it on CNN.
Morehead, Kentucky, population 7,500. In the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, a region that has suffered economic distress, the small town just welcomed its newest neighbor, App Harvest.
On NBC, one of the big names who bought in, Martha Stewart.
I think that they are riding a wave into the future, and I'm so excited about it.
And on the same NBC segment, App Harvest founder and former CEO Jonathan Webb on opening up to investment.
We felt it was the right time to take this company public and allow the average everyday American across our country to buy into this company with us.
But soon after going public, as WKYT's Bill Bryant reported,
indoor farming company App Harvest went from startup to Wall Street darling to bankruptcy. The Kentucky-based agrotech business struggled financially over the last few months.
What happened to App Harvest? In earlier nationally televised interviews and here on Eastern Standard, App Harvest then CEO Jonathan Webb promoted the idea of locating high-tech, hydroponic indoor farms across eastern Kentucky and the surrounding area to grow tomatoes, cucumbers, berries, and lettuce. The vision was of an advanced form of climate-resilient agriculture that would create gainful blue-collar employment in some of the country's most economically distressed counties. In a relatively brief time, that idea flew high and crashed hard. Austin Gaffney has chronicled the App Harvest story almost from beginning to end. Her journalism has been published in Grist, Guardian, High Country News, Oxford American, Rolling Stone, and Vice, and she covers breaking news from Kentucky for the New York Times and the Washington Post. And Austin joins us right now from Louisville. Hello, Austin. Welcome to Eastern Standard.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
So the App Harvest greenhouse concept is based on something called Controlled Environment Agriculture, or CEA. What is this technology and how did it find its way into eastern Kentucky?
Controlled environment agriculture is basically a pretty old technology. So since we started bringing plants indoors to help overwinter them, it can look like traditional hoop houses or greenhouses like you'd find on a family farm. But over the last couple of decades, controlled environment agriculture has taken off as sort of an energy intensive way to grow a few crops in a high yield, high intensity way. So indoor facilities like vertical farms or giant greenhouses, they're outfitted with very careful climate controls, including LED grow lights and hydroponic systems to basically grow produce year round. And advocates for controlled environment ag argue farming needs to become less climate dependent as our world warms, and its land footprint also needs to shrink as we try to preserve biodiversity and carbon sinks like forests. So for Eastern Kentucky, in January of 2018, Jonathan Webb, who is University of Kentucky Business School graduate, left his job as a contractor on renewable energy projects in Washington, D.C., and he moved home to Kentucky, where he started raising money for the state's basically first big controlled environment ag enterprise, which became App Harvest.
Well, after it launched, App Harvest got a lot of attention. CNN, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, you name it, and a lot of it was glowing. And you first reported in depth about it in August of 2021 in Rolling Stone. Now, in retrospect, was App Harvest then already well on its way to this what became a pretty spectacular collapse?
In some ways, I think it was. It raised over $700 million in seed and venture capital funding from the time it went public on NASDAQ, which was in February of 2021, about 5 months before I visited. And basically, App Harvest had called itself the first controlled environment agriculture company in the U.S. to go public. And in its first 2 years, it built five of a promised 12 greenhouses in Morehead, along with Berea, Richmond, and Somerset. So while it built big, it sort of suffered problems, including low productivity, disease outbreaks within the greenhouse, and it had a brand new staff where it hired hundreds of people who often felt unequipped to keep up with the pace App Harvest needed them to basically pay back its investors with dollars and cents made off produce, like what you mentioned at the beginning, tomatoes, lettuce, berries, which are not high dollar markets. So based on interviews with former workers from the first summer of 2021, App Harvest was failing to meet productivity and profit goals. And basically, in order to try and keep up, they were exploiting the workforce with overtime, working in extreme heat conditions and the addition of migrant contract labor who received fewer benefits than local labor did.
Well, as you worked on this most recent GRIST article, and we're going to post a link to that on our site, esweku.org, did you have reason to promise anonymity to employees before they would talk with you candidly about what they had gone through?
When I first started reporting for the GRIST story, I ended up speaking to about 12 former workers, and most told me that they had signed non-disclosure agreements upon their hire, both corporate workers and greenhouse workers, which meant that they couldn't speak about their job. So while these type of agreements typically expire after 2 years, in Kentucky, they have no termination date. And so workers feared AppHarvest could sue them for speaking out about their experiences. That changed a little bit after AppHarvest filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy this summer and after some of their facilities were sold or acquired by new companies. That fear seemed to ebb a bit for some workers. And those who initially said they wanted to remain anonymous, they provided written agreement that said they would reveal their real names. But some, like the woman I refer to at the beginning of the story as Nora, they still feared retribution and chose to remain anonymous, which we at GRIST honored.
Now, what was in the original compensation package that was initially offered to Greenhouse employees, and then it turned out not to to hold up?
So Greenhouse employees were initially offered full employer-paid health insurance for themselves and their families, a 40-hour work week that did not include weekends, a monthly community-supported agriculture box filled with local produce, and sort of some smaller perks like uniforms that included flashy additions like black Hoka running shoes and company field parties. They began around $13 an hour, but were offered a pipeline for promotions and productivity bonuses that could earn them up to $20 an hour. And they were also a second chance facility, meaning they offered jobs to formerly incarcerated folks in recovery from addiction.
And did that hiring package hold up?
So from what I heard from greenhouse workers is that one of their biggest complaints was that these promises failed to match the actual working environment. So the first round of hires happened in October 2020. And within weeks of starting work, they said that they were told they needed to work overtime, including Saturdays and Sundays, to keep up with the task of growing hundreds of thousands of tomato plants. And one employee said when she complained about the overtime, her supervisor told her that she needed to learn to sacrifice. Eventually, the health insurance was taken away for new employees. It was not taken away for employees who were initially hired. But some of the other perks like parties or the agriculture box or new uniforms were depleted. And then the promise of a productivity rate that could reach up to $20 an hour, former workers said that they were unable to ever reach that productivity rate.
And what did you learn from them about the actual conditions inside these greenhouses?
Yeah, the biggest complaint was extreme heat. So by spring and summer of 2021, the heat sort of descended into the greenhouse, and former workers reported a heat index that could reach 155 degrees Fahrenheit. But it often hovered in the territory of what the National Weather Service calls extreme danger. So anything above 126 degrees Fahrenheit. One employee called those conditions basically, quote, a grueling hell on earth. And other employees complained of heat exhaustion, rashes, dehydration, and other dangerous working conditions like the wires that held up heavy tomato plants snapping or glass panels falling from the roof of the greenhouse.
Were these workers trained?
Workers received training initially in October of 2020. They had sort of a pep rally week-long style event hosted at a community college near Moorhead, which included team building games and watching a documentary series. But most of the workers I spoke to said they had little training on the hands-on, repetitive, attention-requiring tasks of caring for plants. And when they got to the greenhouse, it was often difficult to determine what they needed to do, and it didn't seem like their management was on the same page for how to increase productivity in the greenhouse.
A source of the hope and the excitement surrounding AppHarvest had to do with the promise of creating sorely needed jobs in eastern Kentucky. What happened with labor within a year of AppHarvest's opening?
Within a year of opening, basically the extreme conditions had made turnover spike, either from employees quitting or being fired. And so AppHarvest decided that they needed to hire contract or migrant labor. And in the fall of 2021, they filed a quarterly report that linked basically the availability of skilled labor to the coal industry's precipitous decline and the replacement by natural gas, noting the energy transition had left tens of thousands of skilled workers unemployed throughout the region. But AppHarvest said that there was too much competition between the cannabis and food industries. And so to forestall a potential labor shortage, they hired contract laborers from outside the region to help complete their harvests. So former workers said that by the fall of 2021 and the spring of 2022, these contract laborers outnumbered local laborers.
Let's talk a little bit more about those jobs, the hours, the conditions. What more did you learn about that?
So as I mentioned, workers started working overtime within a few weeks of their initial start date in 2020, and an internal memo circulated to all Morehead employees confirms the policy from the spring of 2021, noting that at any given time, an emergency could require mandatory overtime, including weekends and holidays. But like many things at AppHarvest, this memo tried to keep sort of a sunny tone, noting that working in a greenhouse has its challenges, but one of them is keeping our plants happy. And according to documents provided by former workers, they named the two overtime teams that worked in the greenhouse Inspiration and Trust. So essentially, they were asking, workers were being asked to work in conditions that they were not privy to when they were initially hired. That AppHarvest sort of tried to keep the sheen on it of, we're all a team, and this is what we have to do in order to make this company successful.
Well, I mentioned the excitement that surrounded hiring people from the area. What became of that? People in the area of Sharkey, Morehead, Rowan County, did they get jobs there and did they last?
They did get jobs there. Most of the folks that I interviewed for the story were from the region, but most of them had left by the time I spoke to them. As I noted in the story, they were all former workers. So turnover was high at the facility because of the working conditions and because a lot of workers told me they felt like they were being pushed out as contract laborers arrived and started to replace what they felt like was replacing their jobs, because contract laborers were paid less than local laborers were typically.
And let's talk about those tomatoes. And first, I'd like to play a clip from an interview that I did with Jonathan Webb. This was in February of 2021. What does an AppHarvest tomato taste like?
I eat mainly plants, a lot of fruits and vegetables, and I'm a consumer of our product, and I was in tears when I ate the first AppHarvest tomato. It's plump, it's juicy, it's red, it's flavorful. It's the same thing if your grandmother's growing a tomato in the backyard. It's the way it should taste.
Well, Austin, did the product live up to that claim?
I've only had one AppHarvest tomato that I know of, and it's when I visited the greenhouse in June of 2021. It tasted like a tomato that you might get from your local Kroger or IGA. If you're from Kentucky, you know what a fresh, off-the-vine, kind of sun-ripened tomato tastes like. It's juicy. It's rich with flavor. The tomato I tried didn't taste like that, but it was grown in a large-scale hydroponic conventional greenhouse. So I don't think a tomato is meant to taste the same as a small backyard tomato. I think it's another example of Webb's sort of grandiose promises. He could have said it tastes a little bit better than your local tomato at Kroger because it travels a shorter distance. But instead, he tried to match it to his grandmother's backyard tomato. And I just think it's really hard for a large-scale operation to match that.
Well, you report that what went on inside the company behind the scenes from its earliest days bore little resemblance to the sustainable, worker-friendly operation that Webb had publicly touted. What was going on behind the scenes?
Behind the scenes, according to securities fraud litigation that was filed in 2021, employees were unhappy, they were poorly trained, and they were quitting or being fired from the company they had essentially planned to invest their entire lives in. So productivity had plummeted and the company was failing to meet productivity and profit goals, which led to a $32 million net loss by the summer of 2021. All the while, though, the leadership like Jonathan Webb was continuing to show up on national news, claiming that their greenhouses were the wave of the future.
In the meantime, major investment and some very big names were attracted to the AppHarvest project. Tell us about that.
So Webb's sort of worker-centric pitch ended up raising almost $800 million for AppHarvest, and it catapulted him into the national spotlight. It convinced a number of big names to join the company board, like Martha Stewart, like activist investor Jeffrey Ubin, like the former Impossible Foods chief financial officer David Lee, and also J.D. Vance, who listeners might know as the venture capitalist and Hillbilly Elegy author, who later won election to U.S. Senate seat in Ohio. And while AppHarvest failings were basically becoming clear to its workers in its early months, AppHarvest went through 12 rounds of funding, including funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and Rise of the Rest, which is a D.C.-based seed capital firm focused on middle American startups. So by early 2021, it went public at $35.69 a share, and Webb personally got a $1.5 million bonus for the stock listing.
And about that time, Austin, the company won certification as a B Corp, a designation for businesses with high standards of performance, accountability, and transparency, especially in the area of employee benefits. And it was also designated as a public benefit corporation created to generate social good responsibly and sustainably. But were these designations, which would be very impressive to potential investors, were they handed out even as many were becoming aware of shortcomings in labor, costs, and production?
According to interviews with former workers, sort of the high standards of employee benefits started to plummet when they were first given overtime and continued into the summer when they started facing extreme heat conditions, and into the next fall when contract laborers joined their forces and were then removed during Mitch McConnell's visit in November of 2021, which I discuss in the story. But publicly, the company was still claiming that they had a happy, thriving workforce. So in the summer and fall of 2021, stockholders filed the first of five lawsuits alleging securities fraud, noting that AppHarvest leadership had repeatedly cited in internal meetings employee training, turnover, and a poor work ethic among laborers as the root causes of the company's failure to reach profitability, and that such failures had been well known ahead of time. So in August of 2021, there was an investor call where Jonathan Webb and other members of the leadership team admitted that they were failing to reach profit goals and productivity goals, but had been publicly touting the success of the company.
Well, now, the investors in AppHarvest were not just folks with deep pockets. You report that employees convinced family and friends to buy stocks in the company, and those who invested lost a lot of money, thousands of dollars. What happened to those folks and to those investments?
As far as I know, those investments have just disappeared. Most of the people I spoke to said they never cashed in on the stock options that they were given because by the time they were either out of the company or looking to cash in, that the money had essentially disappeared from the stock market. So a number of people have reached out to tell me that the amount they lost and to share the receipts of the amount they lost, which can range from tens to hundreds to thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars. People really believed AppHarvest would provide a booming economy in Kentucky, and Governor Andy Beshear backed the company as he tried to sort of pivot his state into a leader in agritech. And during a visit in 2021, he called AppHarvest's Moorhead site the future of a state, comparing it to Kentucky's Toyota plant, which employs 10,000 people. So there was a lot of promise in the company.
So Austin, in the close of your Rolling Stone article, and again, this was published 2 years ago, you suggest that AppHarvest could be the pathway to a better future, or it could be just another LED-lit mirage. Does controlled environment agriculture still have a future after this episode?
I think it does. I think there are all sorts of puzzle pieces in controlled environment agriculture to work out, including the energy problem. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have a future. Like I said at the beginning, basically anytime you take plants inside and try to control the environment that they're living in, you're doing controlled environment agriculture. So it has a place in a backyard grow operation, and it also has a place in sort of a high yield monocropping system to replace the large scale farms we have today. But I think only if it's scaled up appropriately and with enough wiggle room to have trial and error along the way.
Journalist Austin Gaffney in Louisville. You can find links to her Grist and Rolling Stone articles about AppHarvest on our site at esweku.org. Thanks so much, Austin.
Thanks for having me.